Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Making History Podcast. My name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we're the Hesses. This has been a big week.
It has been a big week.
It's been a big week.
I feel like I just have to warm up a little bit with pretty much every episode. It's like, okay, let's remember how to speak.
It also doesn't help that we've been doing these like late at night.
Yeah.
And we're both tired.
Yeah, my brain is like barely hanging on.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, yes. A bid week.
It's been a bid week. So since we've recorded, we've had Halloween.
Yep. And then we had family weekend, which was super fun.
Yep. We had some relatives in town on my side of the family that we haven't seen in a long time. You've only met like once.
Right.
And that was brief.
Yeah. And like a weird, not weird, but just like a, not like an easy to get to know you type environment.
Yeah. And yesterday, as of recording this, was election day.
It was.
So that was just a big day.
Very big. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of tension leading up to that day for sure.
A lot of tension leading up to that day and just a lot of tension in the aftermath.
Right. Yeah. Continuing.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate that like no matter what happened, that was pretty much going to be the case because there's just so much like political dissension.
Right.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. And people get so mad no matter what.
Yeah.
I feel like, of course, on either side, you're going to have the very like dramatic, like, wah, the world is ending.
Last Sunday at church, Noah, who's our senior leader, he actually spoke on politics.
Right. Yeah.
And it was interesting. It was the first time he's ever really done that publicly. And he said something that was just like, it seemed very obvious, but also like, yeah, that's right. He said that one of the interesting thing about politics is that, and he looked around the room, he said, every single person in this room right now, regardless of who you're going to vote for, what you believe, he said, every single one of you is convinced that you are right in how we ought to think.
Yeah.
And like that's true. Every single person, typically, like everybody assumes that the way they think about politics and what they believe is right. It's a hard place to live because something I've said just in the past, I've taught on like truth. And we may get into this a little bit today, but truth and just the value of truth and not allowing the need or the desire to be right to take a higher place of value in our lives than in the desire to know what is true. But as I've like read about that and researched and really thought about it, I've come to realize that I think the person in the room who can be least sure that what they believe is true is the person who is most unwilling to consider whether or not they might be wrong.
Right. Yeah. Just like somebody who is not going to be budged by any information that they've been given.
Right.
After they've decided like, oh, this is it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so like, while we, you know, we voted for Trump and we were pleased with the result, at the same time, like, I'm not unwilling to have a conversation with somebody who thinks differently than me.
Right.
Because that's actually one of the best things we can do to round out our understanding and our thinking and our beliefs.
Absolutely. I am all for having a conversation with somebody who voted for Harris and why they did and why they feel like she is the preferable candidate. Yeah. You know, absolutely. I would love to hear your opinion. I would love to hear why you think this. And also, if we're going to have this conversation, you need to be willing to hear why I think my side as well.
And that's what's missing in just society today. Is what's missing is the ability for people to have those kinds of conversations and to ask questions with somebody who knowingly opposes their own thoughts and beliefs and opinions, and to ask questions and to listen for the sake of understanding, not necessarily for the sake of agreement.
Right.
Because
or proving that you're right.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's both of those things. It's having conversations with the interest of understanding how other people think, why other people value what they value.
Yeah.
And again, that doesn't have to lead to agreement.
Right.
It's okay to say, to leave a conversation like that and say, like, we're not going to agree with each other, but I'm glad I at least know why you think the way that you do.
Yeah. I'm like, hey, I still love you. Even if we don't agree on everything 100% of the time, that doesn't change me or change how I see you as a human being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just unfortunately not really how things go in society today.
Yeah.
So I guess this kind of leads into what we're going to talk about anyways as our main topic. Because with the election that just happened, there are a lot of big feelings happening. Lots of big feelings.
Big, loud feelings.
Yes. And last week we talked about the renewal of the mind. And we talked more specifically about like thoughts and beliefs. And we talked about navigating like what does the renewal of the mind look like with regard to our thoughts. And we did talk, so we sort of, that conversation kind of landed with, well, we have to understand what is true. Right. If we're to know how to think. And truth is not something that's relative. It's something that's objective.
Right.
So, you know, there isn't such a thing as like, and now in a sense, there could be, and I can maybe just describe what I mean, but there's not necessarily such a thing as like my truth and your truth.
Right.
And somebody else's truth and their truth. And there's overall, there is just truth.
Yes. Yeah. Right?
There is a foundation of objective truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there, you could make a case, well, there is something that is maybe true for me on the basis of my experience.
Sure.
That I am currently experiencing as true.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, if there's something like, if I may have formed the belief that I am, I don't know, hopeless or worthless or unlovable or something like that. And that may feel very true to me on the basis of my experience. We have to be able to weigh what we believe is true against the objective truth of what God says.
Right.
Right. Because he's the creator. So he's the one that kind of gets the say.
Yeah.
And so if he looks at us and says, no, you're loved. I may not feel like that's true in the moment.
Sure.
But as we're going to discuss, we're going to have to find a way to not just live by our feelings, but to actually allow truth to be the thing that directs the course of our lives and not just how we're feeling at any given moment.
Right. Allowing the truth to be the anchor as to which like we base everything off of rather than, okay, this is how I feel today. So now everything else gets weighed against that. It's like, no, okay, this is how I'm feeling today, but this is what I know to be the absolute truth.
Yeah. So with the mind consists of both thoughts and feelings. Now I'll break down feelings in a minute because feelings is more than just emotions.
Sure.
But so with the mind and our thoughts will contain ideas and thoughts and beliefs, but also like images and memories and things like that.
Yeah.
And the thing about thoughts and feelings is that they're fully intertwined. Well, you can't really separate them. Thoughts evoke feelings and feelings are typically tied to thoughts. And so you can't really separate them.
Right.
So feelings are, as I said, they're not just emotions, but feelings, they are emotions, but it's also sensations and also desires. And that's a really big thing to consider because when Paul says in Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. It's not just the renewal of how we think, but also the renewal of how we feel. It is the renewal of our desires. It's the renewal of the parts of us that often, if we are not careful, will be allowed to steer the ship of our lives and will guide us in our decision-making and the choices we make and the habits we build. Those are often, if we're not careful, built upon our feelings. And that's scary because feelings are, there's the saying, feelings are really great servants, but they're terrible masters.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because their feelings can be really volatile mm-hmm. of where one minute you feel this way and then the next minute circumstances change and all of a sudden everything's fine again or mm-hmm. everything's terrible all of a sudden and you're feeling really unsure. And then when I feel like when you like bobble in feelings, then you feel even worse because you're like, ah, I don't even know what to expect. I don't know mm-hmm. like why I'm feeling the way that I'm feeling completely because I've been here today. I've been here today. I've been feeling joy. I've been feeling joyful today. I've been feeling sad today. And it's just, you're all over the map. Mm-hmm. And so you can't even like predict your own self when you're allowing your feelings to govern where your life goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in society today, typically, I would say by default, people, and this, and I say by default because I'm sure we've talked about this, but the only way to be like discipled by Jesus and to be led into a life that is reflective of his kingdom, his values, his ways, his practices, the only way to do that is to intentionally choose that every single day.
Right.
And whenever we don't, pursue that renewal and that transformation that Paul talks about, by default, we'll be relegated to conformity to the world.
Right.
There isn't a third direction.
No.
So if we're not intentionally being discipled by Jesus, we are unintentionally being discipled by the world.
Yeah.
And the world, just looking at the election and looking at everything, the world is a place of really big feelings.
Yes.
And if we don't have objective truth to kind of hold those feelings up to, our lives will be completely dictated and controlled by all of those feelings.
Yeah.
And so, as I said earlier, our feelings are not just emotions, but also sensations and desires. Mm-hmm. And it's just really easy to let our lives be dictated and controlled by our desires and our emotions. And not only that, but to actually allow our identity to be formed around those things. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned this earlier, but there is this trend right now in society to push towards this idea of like relative truth, to where anything can be true for me at any given moment.
Yeah.
And nobody has any right to have an opposing opinion on whether or not what I think is true might actually be true.
Right.
And so I can feel any particular way at any time. And I don't have to have any kind of and that can fly in the face of any kind of objective, you know, scientific or biological or factual or reality-based evidence. Mm-hmm. It can fly in the face of all that.
Yeah.
And I can just say, well, I feel this way. Mm-hmm. And therefore, that must be who I am.
Who I am. Yeah.
And you don't get to say otherwise.
Oof. Yeah.
And I get how people get there.
Sure.
Like, apart from the Lord, I'm like very understanding of how a person gets there. But once you start like really living life with Jesus and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you and allowing the Holy Spirit to renew our minds and help us know how to think and what to do with these feelings that we're feeling.
Yeah.
Then it's really hard to continue living that way.
Oh yeah.
Because you realize like, no, there is such a thing as objective truth. There are things that the Holy Spirit can say are true or not true.
Right.
And it doesn't matter what I feel or what I think in that moment.
Yeah. And it so often our feelings are so fleeting that like, sure, one minute I might feel like this is absolutely it. Mm-hmm. Like this is who I am. This is what I'm about. But then like 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later, that feeling might have completely changed. Mm-hmm. And so it's terrifying to think that like the world runs so much off of feelings, just knowing how quickly, just how shakable they are, how like easy it is just to pull at the thread and just unravel the entire thing because there's no like solidarity to any of those like claims really when you're basing it off of feelings. And it's like you said, when you do life with Jesus and you actually allow him to tell you what the truth is, allow the the word to tell you what the truth is. I feel like it's kind of like a two-sided thing that I'm like, okay, like you have the truth. And so it's easy to look at the world and be like, come on guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and almost like step into like a judgmental place.
Sure.
Of just being like, let's get it together. Like y'all are crazy. What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, you have so much like love for those people who are so just lost, mm-hmm. I guess, and not able to have that firm ground of truth, mm-hmm. that is objective. And it's so, you know, on the other hand, where you have like, where you could step into judgment, which unfortunately a lot of people do,
mm-hmm.
myself included in times, it is such a call, I feel like, to believers to step in and love people where they're at,
mm-hmm.
but also not allowing that to be like an affirmation of like, yeah, you're okay. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, sure. Like agreeing with them. And yeah, I feel like I'm going down a path that is a little bit deeper than I intended, mm-hmm. on just when I started. But those feelings so often polarize people living in the world and people who are living with Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and like make such a huge like rift between them, because often believers step into judgment and just say like, you can't, like, that's not the truth, and just tell people how wrong they are,
mm-hmm.
when actually I think probably Jesus would say, hey, I love you. This isn't who you are.
Yeah.
But I'm going to love you anyways, and I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to continue speaking the truth, mm-hmm. over you and into you whenever you allow me to.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just pray and hope that one day,
yeah,
you'll accept it.
Yeah. Yeah, Jesus, he had this way of, because he hung out with sinners, mm-hmm. a lot.
Right.
Those were like a lot of times the people he liked to hang out with.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus had this way of like spending time with the sinners, and the result was often that they would leave his presence, mm-hmm. changed.
Yeah.
And so even like Zacchaeus is a great example,
mm-hmm.
of Zacchaeus was a terrible dude.
Yeah.
He was stealing.
Nobody liked him.
No, nobody, mm-hmm. liked him. According to our kids' Bible, he had no friends.
Yep.
And he spent one afternoon with Jesus.
Mm.
So Jesus says, hey, I'd like to have lunch with you.
Yeah.
And after that, like, I wish we had more insight into what Jesus said to him,
mm-hmm.
and what that conversation looked like.
Amazing. Yeah.
Because he had one meal with Jesus and he left a different person.
Right.
And Jesus had this way of revealing truth in a way that convicted people, but loved them simultaneously. Mm.
Yeah.
And so Zacchaeus was like, he left that saying, I'm actually going to go and return all the money I've stolen.
Right. Yeah. Not and even so, just like, I'm going to start living differently now.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jesus wasn't afraid to be around people that were different than him.
Right.
That disagreed with him.
Yeah.
But he also wasn't willing to accept something that was a lower standard than what he knew,
mm-hmm.
to be good or true.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Jesus didn't go have lunch with a guy like Zacchaeus and say, man, I get it. Mm-hmm. You know, you do you.
Yeah.
You live your truth.
Live your truth.
You know, Jesus, yeah. had lunch with him. And the result was that Zacchaeus understood after that, that there was a higher way, mm-hmm. and there was a more excellent way.
Yeah.
And he was changed, and
right.
he was different. So, yeah. When you were talking, I had a bunch of thoughts.
I can always tell when you start getting thoughts as I'm talking.
I know.
Because I see your eyes just kind of like start like.
I know.
I can see you like calculating.
And then I have to like remind myself like pay attention,
yep.
listen, because I just have all these like incoming
boom,
thoughts,
boom, boom, boom.
And I have, yeah. all these different like.
Yep.
I'm like, oh my gosh, I like that, and we could take that over here. But
yep.
So one of the things I thought about was, you know, when the serpent tempted Adam and Eve in the garden,
mm-hmm.
he didn't say, hey, I want you, like, you should worship me.
Mm.
Don't worship God, you should worship me.
Yeah.
He didn't come and say that.
Right.
What he said was, hey, you could be like God.
Mm.
And ever since that moment, that has been humanity's struggle.
Yeah.
Our lives tend to be ones of self-worship.
Mm.
And we're very self-centered and self-serving.
Yeah.
And like, I would say the main goal of our spiritual formation and our transformation in Christ is that we move out of worshiping ourselves to worshiping Jesus.
Yes.
And we move out of a life that is serving ourselves and focused on ourselves and our feelings and everything. Yeah. And that we actually move into being completely centered around Jesus and his truth and his ways. And so that's kind of that process. But people in the world, they don't have the ability or even the desire to make that shift.
Sure.
Which is why the world goes in the direction that it does, because everybody is serving themselves and their lives are revolving around worshiping themselves and meeting their own desires and their own whims. Yeah. And so you look at people in the world who don't know Jesus, and their lives tend to be very hedonistic for the most part, in that they want to do whatever they want, whenever they want, however they want, with whoever they want.
Yeah.
And they don't want anybody to say, you can't do that, or that's not good, or there's a better way.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that, you know, like you said, feelings, they kind of come and go.
Mm-hmm.
And our feelings are, just like our thoughts, they're very susceptible to influence of the culture. And so we may find ourselves feeling certain ways or desiring certain things that maybe we wouldn't have desired had the world not put it in front of us.
Right. Oh, for sure. There is so often.
And I mean, even as simple as like the clothes we wear, the music we listen to, the food we like, TV shows we watch, like, you're crazy to think if those things are all like a genuine expression of who you are, because we don't even know who we are outside of like the cultural context that we live in.
Right. And it's so constant that stuff is thrown at us too, that it's like, if you don't take time to intentionally disconnect, you're never going to figure out who you are.
Right.
And why you like what you like, or, you know, just what makes you you. Because there are a lot of things that want to tell you exactly who you are.
Yeah.
And what you like, and why you should wear your hair like this.
Yeah.
And why you should wear these shoes and eat this food.
Yeah. There's a lot of things on like social media or Pinterest that will have me convinced that I want a house to look this certain way.
Yeah.
But then when I sit and think about it, I'm like, I don't actually want that.
Right.
There's a part of me that feels like I should want it because that's like the thing to want right now. And you could kind of look in, you know, at every different aspect of our lives and start to like assess, is this an authentic desire, like of the authentic me as Jesus knows me? Or is this just something that society has instilled in me and trained me to think that I should want?
Right.
Anyways, I feel like we could talk about that forever.
Yeah.
But one of the things I think one of the things I want to encourage people with, and this is maybe where some of the spirituality can start to meet the practicality of actually solving these problems, is that, you know, feelings, they do come and they do go and they shift and our desires shift. And one of the reasons that happens is because if we're being led by our feelings, that's scary because our feelings are often tied to our current circumstances and circumstances are often out of our control.
Sure.
And if my life is led by my feelings, if my feelings are connected to my current circumstances, then the direction of my life, the decisions I make, and how I define my identity, those things are all at the mercy of whatever circumstances I'm facing.
Yeah.
And that's terrifying because we are not in control of our circumstances.
Right. Yeah.
And so the world around me gets to dictate all the time how I feel, but not only how I feel, the decisions I make that are tied to those feelings and how I see myself and how I define my identity.
Yeah.
And a lot of times people are looking for happiness, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible says a lot more about joy.
Yeah.
And I think that joy is a higher aim than happiness.
Absolutely.
Because happiness is tied to circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about joy is like an overall sense of well-being, regardless of what's happening around me.
Yeah.
And you only get that with Jesus.
Right.
It's the only way. The only way I can be good and that my soul can be well and that my soul can be healthy and at rest and joyful is if my soul is alive to the only one who is always good and always faithful all the time, right, no matter what's happening around me.
Yeah, absolutely. And joy too is just like a manifestation of love.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have tied yourself to love himself,
yeah,
then you always have access to joy.
Right.
But if you have chosen to not tie yourself to love himself,
mm-hmm.
tie yourself to love himself. I just had to make sure that I didn't repeat words there. Then you are much more likely to, you know, I'm sure you'll have moments of joy,
mm-hmm.
but most of what you'll be experiencing is that circumstantial happiness.
Right.
And so, like you said, while happiness is definitely a positive thing, we, you know, I welcome happiness. Mm-hmm. I'm good with that, but I don't want that to be my only source of good in my life, because if it is just circumstantial, maybe I'll get it today. Maybe I'll be happy today. Maybe I won't. But if I have joy in place of happiness, then I know that at any point, even when I'm in the worst of circumstances, I can look at Jesus and I can access that joy no matter what's going on around me.
Yeah. And that is so unbelievably crucial for times like this.
Yes.
When there's so much tension and so many big feelings in the world.
Right.
Because the thing, and I'm going to say this, and this is not an exaggeration. I think I can speak for both of us. Correct me if you feel or think differently.
Yeah.
But like, regardless of who won the presidential election, whether it was Trump, whether it was Harris.
Yeah.
Either way, we would have woken up Wednesday morning with an overall pervasive sense of peace and joy.
Yeah.
Because the circumstances of the world don't get to dictate that for us.
Mm-mm.
Like, that doesn't mean things aren't hard for us.
No, yeah.
It doesn't mean
on last week on the podcast. Like, I've been in a little bit of the trenches of emotions lately.
That doesn't mean we don't experience hard things.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean we don't experience the other range of emotions,
right,
the negative ones. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that we don't feel sad or frustrated or angry or scared. Yeah. We feel all of those things.
Right.
But because we have learned and are continuing to learn how to anchor ourselves to Jesus, to anchor our hope, not just to what we think he could do for us or to our current circumstances or anything like that, but we're actually anchored to just the quality of his character and his nature. Because when you know that he's good, even if life doesn't feel good, even if you're, even if whoever you voted for in the presidential election didn't win,
right?
Even if, you know, whatever happens, he's still good.
Yeah.
He still loves me.
Mm-hmm.
He's still faithful.
Yep.
He still has good thoughts and plans for my future and for my life. And because of that, like all the shifting of the circumstances and all the different things that will invoke different feelings and different thoughts, those will shift, but he never will.
Right.
His kingdom never will.
Yeah.
And because of that, we have an opportunity to be people who just live with an overall sense of well-being, an overall sense of peace and joy.
Yeah, absolutely. It really is amazing just being on this journey, like you said, that, like, of course, we've not made it. There's always going to be room to go forward and to learn more about the Lord and who he says he is and who he is and who we are and how he loves us. But I feel like we have gotten to like a pretty solid point in our lives of where no matter what's going on around us, that we're able to really wake up, like you said, every day with just a sense of peace, no matter what is going on around us. We're like, okay, yeah, the world could literally be like falling apart outside, but I feel so confident in the Lord and how he loves us that, like, you know, that's not great. I'm not happy about what's going on in the world, but I know that he's good and I know that he's not going to change. So I can maintain that sense of joy and peace.
Yeah.
No matter what's going on.
Well, think about Paul like he would write these crazy verses like, guys, in all circumstances, mm-hmm. give thanks.
Yeah.
Or he would say, you know, whether in abundance or in lack, or whether in, you know, if I'm doing well and I'm healthy, or if I'm sick, or if I'm being persecuted, mm-hmm. you know, he's saying, I have learned how to be content in all things.
Yeah.
And it's not like, what's amazing about that is he often wrote things like that while he was in prison, mm-hmm. or like after he'd been beaten or stoned.
Yeah.
Like that happened a couple times.
Yeah.
And so, like, when you think about Paul, like, this is a guy who was so rooted mm-hmm. in the reality of who Jesus is.
Yeah.
That his external circumstances didn't really shake him. Because
mm-hmm.
he was writing encouraging letters to the church
yeah.
about giving thanks in all circumstances, while he probably had, like, the least to be thankful for.
Right.
Considering,
yeah.
you know, yeah. his circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it doesn't mean that we, like I said, we still feel scared and yeah. we still feel sad. We
Absolutely.
Feel angry at times.
Mm-hmm.
But Donald Trump, while I think he'll be a really great president again,
mm-hmm.
He's not our savior.
No.
And so, like, had he not won, mm-hmm. like, our hope wasn't tied to that thing.
Right.
Our joy and our peace wasn't tied to him winning.
Mm-hmm.
Did we want him to win? Sure. But if he didn't, we have something even greater to hold on to.
Yes. Yeah.
And I just think that's something that I'd love all of our listeners just to consider.
Mm-hmm.
Just to consider, what are the things that your peace and your joy and your hope are anchored to?
Yeah.
Because if those things fluctuate, that's actually an indication that they are tied to something other than Jesus, mm-hmm. because he doesn't change.
Right.
And so the more we can allow ourselves to anchor our hope and our peace and our joy to him,
mm-hmm.
the less fluctuation we'll see.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't fluctuate.
Right. Yeah. And I do think that it's important to note that, like you said, we do feel scared sometimes. We do feel worried.
Yeah,
we
of
do
course.
Have these, you know, we have all the emotions.
We're people.
We're not
yeah.
robots. Like,
right. We're normal
I
people.
Only feel joy. Meet more. Like, we have all these things. And that is not something that I'm ever trying to eliminate.
No.
And because it's healthy
yeah.
to feel all those emotions. We are meant to feel all these emotions.
Help to pretend you're not feeling something that you're feeling.
Right. Yeah. That makes everything so much worse when you try to just sweep things under the rug.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to note that, like, hey, don't be afraid of your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Allow yourself to feel them, but also don't allow your truth to be in Jesus, your truth in Jesus, not your personal yeah. truth. Don't allow, like, the truth of who Jesus is to be swayed by those feelings
yeah.
and those emotions. And instead of weighing Jesus by what you're feeling, weigh what you're feeling by Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And if that makes sense,
yeah.
does that make sense? By mm-hmm. the way, I said that. And yeah, because I think for a while I was afraid of feeling negative emotions. And so I'd just be like, la, 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 everything's fine.
Well,
nothing's
yeah.
wrong. Like,
well, sometimes there's this thing where, like, one of the things Chris Dupre said on the podcast I had him on, is he mm-hmm. said, church often is church is really great at shame management,
mm.
and that Christians are so good at, like, presenting a version of themselves.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
You know, in an effort to hide the mm-hmm. things that, you know, maybe they don't like about themselves, or they're yeah. embarrassed, you know. And I think one of those things could be those negative emotions.
Yeah.
Like, because the world, not just the world, but the church is so performance oriented,
mm-hmm.
that there could be this thing where it's like, I would be embarrassed for you to know that I'm scared
yeah.
or that I'm feeling this emotion or that emotion. So I'm just going to pretend like I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
yeah.
So, like, that's not helpful.
Right. And that's when the holier than thou
yeah.
stereotype comes into play
yeah.
of where so many believers, unfortunately, have entered into a state of, like, well, I have it all together.
Mm-hmm.
And you peasants are
yeah.
having a hard time. It's like, well, no, actually, like, we all go through it and
yeah.
it's okay. And actually, I think it's really beautiful for us as believers to be vulnerable to a level, you know, to mm-hmm. a certain extent with other people so that they can see, hey, you're not alone in your struggle. It may look different, but like, just because we do life with Jesus doesn't mean that like we're walking on cloud nine all the time, you know?
Yeah. It just does mean that we have potential to experience greater levels of peace and joy.
Yeah.
When life gets harder, when things don't go our way.
Mm-hmm.
I'll end with this thought. This is one of my favorite verses. Maybe I've talked about it on here. Who can even remember at this point? Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all peace and joy as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And many years ago, I was just kind of reading that verse and kind of reading over it, because I felt like the Lord was starting to talk about hope, and which was like some of the initial thoughts that kind of birthed the book I wrote.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard that, if you're new to the podcast, but I do have a book. It's called God's Not As Good As You Think He Is.
Mm-hmm.
It's available on Amazon. If you want to know why I named it that, just go buy it and read it. And you'll understand what I mean by that title. But anyways, I talk about this in the book. So it says that, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace as you trust in him. And I realized that there is a correlation between the joy and peace we're experiencing in an area of life and the degree to which we're willing to trust him in that area.
Yeah.
And so the more I'm willing to trust him with my finances, the more joy and peace I will have regarding finances.
Mm-hmm.
The more I'm willing to trust him with, I don't know, my relationships or my future, we'll say that.
Yeah.
The more I'm willing to trust him with my future, the more joy and peace I'm going to have with regarding my future, because he fills you with all joy and peace as you trust in him.
Yeah.
And so as our trust increases, the natural byproduct of that is that our joy and our peace also increases with that trust.
Yeah.
And it's because he's so faithful.
Yeah.
And there's nothing else that can deliver on faithfulness in the world like he can.
Right.
And so like the world will promise you happiness and the world will promise you contentment and satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you ascribe to hustle culture or whether it's, you know, desires that you are tempted to give into. Mm-hmm. And you know, the world has all these systems in place for promising satisfaction, happiness, contentment.
Yeah.
If you just had this amount of money, if you had this house, if you had these cars,
yeah.
If you had this type of thing or that type of thing, if you had this job title, or if you, you know, acted on these desires, whatever that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that the world doesn't have the capacity to deliver on that kind of promise the way the Lord can.
Right.
Because he's faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's trust in him that increases our joy and our peace.
Yeah. Yep. And he never, like, I know we've said this a couple times already, but he never changes.
Mm-hmm.
And the world is constantly changing.
Yeah.
So do you want to put your trust in somebody who is who he says he is yesterday, today, tomorrow, forever?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Or do you want to put your trust in the world that one day tells you that, like, a gray scheme for your house is like the it thing. And then the next day it's like, oh, we're back to warm tones. Or, you know, like that's just a silly example, but like literally everything changes and style changes and what is quote unquote desirable changes.
Right.
Body image.
Yeah.
Like how, what, like there's just so many things that are so constantly moving and changing in the world.
Yeah.
But if you look at Jesus, you know exactly what to expect every single time, no matter what, no matter how you're feeling, what your circumstances are, the emotions that you're bringing to him, he's always going to respond the same in love.
Right.
Always.
Yep.
No matter what. You come to him and you're all put together and you've read your Bible 7 days a week for a month, you've done all the things, or if you come to him and you feel like your world's crumbling and you've not read your Bible in 3 years, he's still going to respond to you.
Yeah.
And, oh, I'm so glad that you're with me.
Right.
Like, I love you so much. You're my favorite. Let's do this.
Right. I'm so glad to be here with you.
Yeah.
And he's just the ultimate source of comfort.
Mm-hmm.
He is the ultimate source of encouragement.
Yeah.
And once we bring ourselves to the place where we're willing to roll the dice and take a risk and see whether or not he is good and he is faithful, right? Once we can get past that point of being willing to take that risk, you know, you'll realize that, okay, this will be my closing thought. I already said that. Here's my closing
thought. I'll end with this.
Also, I also talk about this in the book. So I'm just going to keep plugging that book and hope somebody buys it.
Go get the book.
But so I've heard people say that faith is spelled R-I-S-K.
Mm-hmm.
Faith feels like a risk at first, but I don't believe that it's meant to stay that way. Faith feels like a risk when you are unsure of God's goodness and his faithfulness.
Yeah.
And if you're unsure that he will actually come through.
Yeah.
But the more you develop a relationship and a history with him, faith stops being spelled R-I-S-K and it starts being spelled T-R-U-S-T.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah. And so faith.
I was laughing at myself because that was a weird word or a weird sound. Oh.
But yeah, faith. It feels risky at first, but as you build a history with the Lord and you develop a track record with him to where you can look back and you realize that he's been faithful.
Yeah.
He's been faithful. He's been faithful. He's always good. He's always good. He's always good no matter what's happening. Faith stops feeling risky and it just starts feeling like trust to where you can say, I don't know how this is going to work out, but you've always done it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just going to trust that you'll do it again.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then you can, super quick.
Yeah.
You can also relay this to other people, you can apply this to other people in your life too. That, like, when other people come to you, when you have such a good track record with the Lord, which, like, it is going to be good if you do life with him, your track record's going to be great.
Yeah.
But you can have all these people come to you and say, like, I have this going on. I have this. This is really stressing me out. But, you know, like, A, B, and C, this is why this isn't going to work out. And you can look at them and you say, like, hey, I understand that this feels like this, but I know for a fact that, like, the Lord has come through on this, 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 and this. And you have all these amazing testimonies that you can help encourage other people with. Like, we've had so many times where friends have come to us and just, you know, been in the thick of it, had a hard time with whatever it is. We'll just use finances as an example. And like the amount of times that the Lord has come through for us miraculously financially has been, I mean, I've lost count.
Yeah.
I'm just like,
it's crazy.
Random times of where it's been tight and people have been like, I just felt like I needed to give you this. And it's like a check for X amount and just little things like that. Or times that, like, we've had way more money in the bank than we should.
After Nora was born, the hospital sent us a check for like $1,200. And there was no explanation.
Mm-mm.
There was absolutely no explanation. And I can't remember if we called about it. I think you may have called.
I think I did because I was like,
yeah, I know. We were like, was this a mistake? Because hospitals don't pay you to have a baby.
Right. Yeah. But, because it was like a whole like insurance debacle for the longest time. And then like, we were like, okay, well, we're probably going to be getting a check in the, or not a check. We're probably going to be getting a bill.
That's right.
In the mail. Like, surely it's coming because it's thousands of dollars to have babies in the hospital.
And I remember pulling that out of the mailbox, looking at it. And I don't remember if I said it out loud to you or if I just thought it.
I think you said it out loud.
I at least thought to myself, maybe I said out loud to you, like, oh, how funny. And just like in jest, like, how funny would this be? How funny would it be if I opened it up and the hospital was like, oh, like a generous donor has, you know, you know, whatever,
like
offered to cover,
like everything, you
know? Yeah. We've had a generous donor, like, you know, you don't owe us anything or whatever, but not only did we have a debt that was paid, but they paid us.
Right.
They actually sent us money because we had a baby and there was no explanation for it.
Mm-mm.
We couldn't understand it, but
it was,
that is,
we kept it. We got to keep it.
And that's okay.
Wild
closing thoughts. And that is Like that
we're
is
losing
just
trust
how,
with our listeners.
I know. They're never going to trust us again when we say that. That is how the Lord works, because he doesn't just cancel debts, but he adds to it.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? Like his mercy is canceling our debt, but his grace is restoring us to a position that is so far beyond just having a canceled debt. Like he doesn't leave us as lowly sinners.
Right.
He, like his mercy offered us a way to be saved, but his grace offers us the opportunity to become something completely different that we never could have.
Yes. Yep. So good.
Okay. All right. We got to stop.
Yep.
Because we could go on and on and on about this.
Right.
All right. Great. Well, that's it for real this time. That's it. No more closing
thought,
thoughts.
Number 17.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Great. Well, to all our listeners and all our watchers, thank you. And we appreciate you guys. And once again, my name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we're making history. We'll see you next time.